Today, as we continue our Lenten sermon series on the Lord's Prayer, we will be considering the fourth petition, "Give us this day our daily bread." One would think that this is the most obvious, the most easily understandable of all the petitions in the prayer. Yet Dr. William Barclay, in his book, The Beatitudes and Lord's Prayer for Every Man, says, it would almost be true to say that this petition is the petition about the meaning of which there is the most doubt. How can that be? It sure seems pretty straightforward. So why any confusion at all? Barclay says it's because of the various translations of the words daily and bread which have been offered by biblical scholars over the years. Some translators render the phrase, "Give us bread we shall need today," while others render it, "Give us today our bread for tomorrow," perhaps having to do with the time of day in which the prayer is prayed. If it's prayed in the morning, it will be a prayer for the needs of that day. If it's prayed in the evening, it will be a prayer for the needs of the coming day. Others translate the phrase, "Give us the bread of life today," leading to confusion about just what is meant by the bread of life. Does it refer to the bread we find on grocery store shelves and use to make our favorite sandwich? Or is the translator referring to Jesus, who said of himself in John 6:35, "I am the bread of life"? Another translation wrinkle occurred when St. Jerome, the church father of the 5th century, produced the Vulgate, the Latin translation of the Bible. He translated the word used for bread in the old Latin translation as super substantial bread in the Vulgate, conveying the idea of bread more than human, more than physical, more than material, more than an earthly substance. In this sense, it was taken as a direct reference to the Holy Eucharist. If this petition is understood as a prayer for the sacrament of Christ's body, St. Augustine said it then became a petition for the bread of the sacrament to be taken in daily communion with Christ and his people. Barclay notes that Augustine well knew that daily communion was not the universal custom of the church, nor did he claim that this was the only meaning of the petition. For if it were the only meaning, there would be a large number of Christians who would be unable to pray it. Since most Christians, then as now, do not partake of Holy Communion on a daily basis. This petition has also been interpreted as referring to our daily need for nothing less than and nothing other than Christ himself, the living bread which came down from heaven. But wait, there's more. Daily bread has also been interpreted as a reference to the Bible, namely the divine precepts of which St. Augustine said we are to think over and put into practice each day. The idea here is that the spiritual life of man is starved and stunted unless it is daily fed by the spiritual food of God's Word. A mere hour at church on Sundays, listening to a 20-minute sermon and discussing a few Bible passages in Sunday school, is not bread sufficient for the Christian's daily life in the world. After all, Jesus didn't teach us to pray, "Give us our weekly bread." But we need the daily nourishment of time spent in the Bible to sustain our life in Christ and in the world. To be in the Word means sitting down daily with a good study Bible or commentary and reading and chewing on a verse or a passage and then applying it in our daily life One might also listen to sound Bible teachers on TV or online, or to Christian radio music and messages throughout the day. Well, even though these various translations and interpretations of the fourth petition have merit and can rightly be part of our understanding of it, for Barclay and countless other scholars, commentators, and Christians of every generation, the meaning of the petition is just what it says. That it is a petition that God should give to us the simple, basic, ordinary things of life to keep us alive, and which we need every day in order to keep body and soul together. Taken in this simple sense, certain important things emerge from it. First, we note at the beginning that we are told not to pray, "Give me my daily bread," but "Give us our daily bread." By deliberately using the plural form in this petition, Jesus rules out all selfishness in prayer. There's a Jewish saying that a man should always join himself with the community in his prayers. How much more a Christian should always join himself or herself in the community in their prayers, in particular, the community of those who share a common faith in Christ with us. Jesus reminds those who belong to him that he who prays this petition by the very form of the words is to be committed to a life in which he cannot have too much, while others have too little. Rather, ours is to be a life where we are determined to bring bread to the hungry, both physical bread and the spiritual bread of Jesus, the Bible, and the gospel. It becomes for us an inescapable duty and the greatest joy and privilege of our life. James 2:14-17 asks, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such a faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead." That's why Oasis puts our faith into action by giving offerings to people in ministries that can help meet those needs. It's also true that when we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," we'll not just sit on our hands and wait for God to deliver food to us by Uber Eats, or that he will pay our utility bills or rent or mortgage by waving a magic wand. God doesn't spoon-feed people who could otherwise pick up the spoon and feed themselves by doing their part to earn wages in order to provide for their own needs and that of their family. What we can do, we should do and must do. Yes, God will provide the loaf, but he will also call on loafers to repent and shift out of park into drive. The Apostle Paul laid down this rule in the face of moochers in the church, writing in 2 Thessalonians 3:10, "The one who is unwilling to work shall not eat." This petition also teaches us that without God, there'd be no such thing as daily bread in the first place, whether food for the stomach or food for the soul. Hence the table prayer, "By your hand, we all are fed. Thank you, God, for our daily bread." No person ever created themselves, nor does any man have the gift of creating anything from scratch. A great illustration of this is the following conversation between God and an atheist. The atheist challenged God to prove he was the creator. So God took a handful of dirt and water and made a lump of clay out of which he shaped and formed a human being. The atheist then snorted in derision and said, "I can do that." But when he bent over to start the process, God said, "Hold it. Make your own dirt." So like the fourth petition, this illustration reminds us that there is nothing at our disposal, not even the dirt of the earth, that God hasn't first put at our disposal and that God himself first had to make. The Bible says, "My God shall supply all our needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus." It doesn't say he will supply all of our whims or all of our desires or give us luxuries beyond our wildest dream. But it is only for the supply of our actual needs that we are told to pray, and for which bread we must also cooperate with God in securing. If we would have our food, we must work for our food. This petition also means we shouldn't look fearfully into the distant future, worrying and fretting whether there will be enough in the months or years ahead. But it is to be content to take what God provides and to leave the future in his hands. All we have is now. And Jesus' instruction is to ask God for what we need now, trusting that in his goodness and mercy, he will do the same when a new day dawns tomorrow. As the saying goes, yesterday is the past, tomorrow is the future, but today is a gift. That's why they call it the present. The gift of the fourth petition is the EFT that God freely gives us in the present. In banking, EFT stands for electronic funds transfer. But in the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer, EFT stands for essentials, food, and time. When the essentials are withheld, we die. When the food supply dries up, we die. When time runs out, life runs out. And so we pray to God in this petition for our daily EFT. Martin Luther, writing in his small catechism about the fourth petition, to give us this day our daily bread, first asked, "What does this mean?" And the answer? God certainly gives daily bread to everyone without our prayers, even to all evil people. But we pray in this petition that God would lead us to realize this and to receive our daily bread with thanksgiving. He then asks, "What is meant by daily bread?" And the answer? Daily bread includes everything that has to do with the support and needs of the body, such as food, drink, clothing, shoes, house, home, land, animals, money, goods, a devout husband or wife, devout children, devout workers, devout and faithful rulers, good government, good weather, peace, health, self-control, good reputation, good friends, faithful neighbors, and the like. In his large catechism, Luther expounds further on this petition. Here is some of what he had to say. It is not only necessary that our body have food and covering and other necessaries, but also that we spend our days in peace and quiet among the people with whom we live and have intercourse in daily business and conversation and all sorts of doings. In short, whatever pertains both to the domestic and to the neighborly, or civil relation and government. For where these two things are hindered and do not prosper as they ought, the necessities of life also are impeded, so that ultimately life cannot be maintained. Tragically, this is what we see happening in Ukraine. For where there are dissensions, strife, and war, there the daily bread is already taken away, or at least checked. Therefore, says Luther, we pray God to give to the rulers and authorities of our country wisdom, strength, and success, that they may govern well and vanquish all enemies, to provide for citizens peace and harmony in their life with one another, and that God would preserve us from all sorts of calamity to body and livelihood. This petition is especially directed also against our chief enemy, the devil. For all his thought and desire is to deprive us of all that we have from God, or to hinder it, not only by obstructing and destroying spiritual government and leading souls astray by his lies and bringing them under his power, but he also prevents and hinders the stability of all government and honorable, peaceable relations on earth. In short, the devil is sorry that anyone has a morsel of bread from God and eats it in peace. And if it were in his power and our prayer next to God did not prevent him, we would not keep a straw in the field, a farthing in the house, yea, not even our life for an hour, especially those who have the Word of God and would like to be Christians. Luther summarizes the fourth petition saying, "Behold, God wishes to indicate to us how he cares for us and all we need, and faithfully provides also for our temporal support, and wishes that we pray for them in order that we may recognize that we receive them from his hand and may feel his paternal goodness toward us therein. For when he withdraws his hand, nothing can prosper nor be maintained in the end, as indeed we daily see and experience." Which is precisely why Jesus taught his disciples to pray for God to provide us with our EFT each and every day, as the God and Father who gave us his all in Christ, that Christ might become for us our all, at whose instruction and in whose name we pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen."